This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Hey guys, hey, it's Kelly Killoran, Ben Simone. You are watching Hollywood Raw, and we are talking all things Housewives, Playboy, and more.
Hey guys, welcome to the Hollywood Raw YouTube page. Make sure you drop a comment, like, subscribe.
Do all the fun things.
Follow.
Follow everything. We're here to entertain you guys.
What are you waiting for? Hurry up, let's go.
Enjoy. How the hell is life in New York? I'm out here in LA. Adam's in New York. What is it like out there?
You guys, Mark, Adam, thank you so much for having me. I'm super excited to talk to you today. New York is obviously really, really chilly, but I'm in real estate and the real estate market is H-O-T. So I know it's raining in LA and we're really sorry about that, but New York is on fire.
It is pouring right now. This is very unusual for LA weather to be crappier than New York, but right now it's just pouring rain outside.
It's karma. It's karma.
You know what's funny, Kelly? I feel like everyone always asks me, like, who are not from New York, like, how is New York? Like, how is it, like, is it back? And I'm like, it was never bad during the pandemic. Like, I always thought it was pretty good. Like, the entire time it was fine, especially in the area where you live and we're kind of like, you know, we're around. Like, it was never, it was always fun. It was always happening. It was never tough.
I mean, it's interesting that you say that because I came back to the pandemic here. I have two girls and I went to Florida to just to make sure that they were safe. And I didn't really know what was happening in New York. And then the minute that the real estate market opened in New York, I got on a plane and came back. And I live in Soho, as everybody knows. And, you know, I just took these great walks in the morning and, you know, all the beautiful, the graffiti was phenomenal. I mean, the art I've never seen. Soho was like it was when I first came to Soho, you know, infused with art, and the people that were here were diehards. And there was like an intimacy about it that was really great. And I really appreciated the people that stayed because they were like, this is my town. This is where, you know, I came from, you know, Kansas, wherever I came from to, you know, make it in this city and I'm not going to leave. And, you know, I really, really appreciated that integrity. It was really impressive.
So now, the real estate market's back though.
Like, yeah, that's what I wanted to get into.
I feel like apartments. Now, I'm not in the ownership. I'm still in the rental. Apartments. During the pandemic, you know, they were giving some a lot of deals for you get like a month or 3 months free. Are they still doing that? And is like the, you know, what's the, what is real estate right now doing in Manhattan?
So, yeah, I mean, we were seeing some, you know, deals. I mean, we really, really saw it in the townhouse market where, you know, townhouses that were trading, you know, over 80 million were, you know, were trading it, you know, with a five in front of it. So that's a huge drop, you know, 30 million is a big drop. But I mean, I sold the number one deal downtown, the Unicorn, 150 Charles, and I sold it for 30% over ask. So, you know, that was a $42 million deal. So I don't, you know, I also see the market in a different way than most people do. You know, I have the unicorns and the upgrades. So I have people that are looking to upgrade. They're like, I have my $1 million apartment. It's time for me to move into that, you know, next, you know, level, you know, sphere of my life and chapter of my life. And, you know, I would like to buy something that's a little bit more expensive and take that risk. And so I have those buyers. And then, you know, I have the big investment clients who foresaw, you know, they didn't foresee COVID, but a lot of my investors were like, things are going to happen in New York and it's going to go down and we're just going to buy everything up. And that's exactly what they did.
But do you see an end to this wild market? Because like at a certain point, we can't just keep getting more and more expensive. Like that just can't happen. Right.
I mean, listen, you know, I don't have, you know, some kind of magic ball in front of me, and I'm not a forecaster, you know, a financial forecaster. That's not my job. But I can tell you what the market is saying. And, you know, when the market is hot, you know, you should try to, you know, sell. And when the, you know, the market is, you know, not so hot, you should try to buy. It's the same thing in stocks. So, you know, just kind of like check out your neighborhood, see what, you know, buildings that you like. You know, ask doormen, say, hey, I've always loved to live in this building. Do you know a great broker that works here? Have you seen anything that's available in that building? You know, go on your streeties, do your homework. I mean, you know, I really think it's not really up to the real estate brokers to kind of foretell what the future is. It's really, you know, it's very personal, you know, I mean, because then there were, again, like, you know, we were just talking about, yes, I did sell that massive deal, right? You know, that was over the top and unbelievable and impressive and, you know, like, otherworldly. But were there other opportunities when people were really, really selling things, you know, at less than market value? Yes. So, you know, you really have to.
The wild part about that, though, is so people are selling now while the market's hot, but then they can't afford to buy because the market just keeps going up. So there's so many people that are in this like weird limbo spot where they're like, sold my house for $1 million more than it was supposed to be worth, and now I can't afford something bigger because the market just keeps rising. So it's like people are stuck in this weird area.
I mean, I just put an apartment in my building on the market 2 days ago, and I got 2 offers, 1 above ask. So, I mean, you know, it's a really, you know, crazy world out there. And again, like my biggest, you know, advice for anybody, even, you know, always for myself, what I always do is like, you know, I have to do comps for everybody. Just do, you know, kind of do your own due diligence and see where you want to live and what that, you know, that apartment building is trading at, and kind of, you know, because some apartments are trading at a lot of money. Some apartments are trading, they're like, wow, they had a lot of renovations and it's not trading that high. So just kind of like do your own homework, and then I can help you navigate the rest. I always say dream big and I'll help you with the rest.
How do you get most of your clients? Are they Housewives fans? Like, how do people find you? Are they people who just like, you know, especially for someone like you that's in the public eye, do you feel like some people just want to come and like, are they real? Are they curious? Are they real buyers? Or are they just kind of want to get to know you because they're just obsessive Housewives fans?
That's a really good question. So I vet everybody. My team vets everybody that goes to see an apartment that I'm showing. So it's not just like a free for all. Come and see Kelly. You know, that it doesn't work like that. You have to have an actual buyer. We have to go through the due diligence of, you know, seeing if that buyer, you know, has the right money for the apartment. So it's kind of like, if you do get to do a showing with me, it's because we've done our homework and you're the right buyer for my seller. So that's really how it works. I mean, I would love for Housewives fans to come and see all of my apartments. I would love that. But I just, at the same time, I am in business and it's my job to, you know, represent my sellers. It's not my job to, you know, be a TV influencer, you know, when I'm doing that job. So I have to wear a different hat.
Yeah. Would you be interested or like open to maybe doing like going on $1 million listing at all?
I already was on it this year with Frederick.
No, but I'm saying like be like one of the main like cast member.
I mean, I do have a couple of show opportunities. So I was on $1 million listing, and I am going to be on a new show that comes out in January. And then I am working on my own show. So real estate is definitely in my near future, and I'm having the best time doing it. I mean, you guys see me all the time. You see me out and about, you see me with my team. You know, I really enjoy my job. I have the greatest clients. Some deals are more complicated than others. But I really welcome, you know, all of the opportunities, and I'm very, very happy where I am. I mean, I could not be happier. I have to pinch myself. I really am super happy right now.
So I want to know how being on reality TV has affected your career, because we had Kendra Wilkinson on the other day, and she was saying that her being a reality star actually kind of hurts her career in real estate, because people don't know, like, do I trust this person? Because I've seen their lives unfold on television. How has being a reality star helped or hurt your business in real estate?
You guys are coming up with the good questions. That is a great question. And I think every reality star is different. So I can't speak to Kendra's business model. I can't speak to anyone else's. I mean, I know for myself that my clients are pretty much New York-based clients, Florida-based clients, Aspen-based, Hamptons-based. You know, I've worked in this city for a long time. You know, I have a very solid reputation in the publishing world, in the fashion world. You know, a lot of people have seen me. You know, I wrote a book with for Anna Wintour for the Metropolitan Museum of Art. I've written 7 books, 2 for Simon & Schuster. One of my books for Simon & Schuster, The Second Course, just got translated into German for the second time. So, I mean, I do have a really strong legacy, even before I was on Housewives. So a lot of my clients, they don't really care about the stigma of reality TV. They just want to know that I can get the job done. And I've proved this year, time and time again, that I am the right person for the job in real estate.
Okay.
Cool. I'm curious how I see you around New York City all the time. You're out and about. You are a socialite. We see you a lot in Page Six and Daily Mail. Are you currently single? Like, what's going on there?
Am I currently single? I am currently single means you're not married. So yes, I am currently single. I am not married.
Not married. So you're dating? Dating around?
So. I am dating and having a really nice time doing it.
Where do you meet your guys, though? Like, how does someone meet Kelly? Where do you meet people?
How does someone meet Kelly? Actually, that's a really good question because it is not easy to meet me. You know, you guys know I have 2 kids. They are my number one priority. So it's not like I'm at the club on a Friday night. Although last weekend I was at a club for the first time in a long time, which was really fun. But yes, it's not exactly easy to meet me. I'm not going to lie. Unless you get pump gas at the same place that I pump my gas, park your car at the same place I park my car, frequent Starbucks because I love Starbucks, anywhere near a dog store where I'm buying numerous peewee pads, any bodega where they have Trident gum because I'm a big gum chewer. What else? Oh. I do love Mexican food. So if you are at a Mexican restaurant in the Soho area, you will probably see me. Please don't interrupt me if I have guacamole on my face, because that would be really upsetting. Where else could you find me?
Are you an app person? Do you go on the dating apps?
I have tried apps. When I wrote my first book, Dangerous Age, my ghostwriter was like, you do not know how to communicate with men. I'm like, yes, I do. I can totally talk to guys. I'm like, super easy. They're like, no. You don't know how to text. I was like, oh. So like, there's a whole master and art form to texting. I mean, listen, I'm a writer, so I am very good with the written word, but the subtle nuances, I'm just like, sometimes I'm like, whoa, that is like too weird for me. I don't have time for that. I'll read it. I'm like, was he flirting or is that he insulting me? Like, you know, sometimes a little bit. I'm like, oh my gosh, I have to like defer to my daughter. I'm like, is that like, okay? Cause they're like, oh my God, 1 second, Mom, let me do it for you. And they're like, bleh. I'm like, oh my gosh. I'm like, is that appropriate for me to say?
That's funny. So they're getting, funny. Tips, getting tips how to do the dating apps from your daughter. I like that.
I mean, she's my oldest daughter's 23 and she is just like the cutest little thing on the planet and having so much fun. I mean, I think it's different for like, to be honest with you, like the dating apps for like the younger generation is like super fun and they just like, they really are meeting all these people. And so like, you know, whether they're like, you know, trying to find, it's kind of like the new Snapchat. They're like, okay, who's at what bar? Okay, lots of cute guys are at La Esquina. Let me go over there. I'm going to go over there. That's kind of what they do. But for, you know, for me, I'm like, wait, this person actually wants to try to, you know, I'm like, oh, maybe I'll try to meet someone or see what's happening. And then I just get very intimidated and the whole like art form of, you know, texting just really like, you know, throws me for a loop. And
so what would be the biggest turnoff a guy can do on a first date with you?
Ask me about Housewives. I think that's like really annoying.
That's a good point.
I remember when I was on Million Dollar Matchmaker with Patty Singer. She's like, if a guy asks you about Housewives, you have to learn to defer. She's like, you know, just like when you're in any interview and you don't like a question, you know how to, you know, to talk about something else. And I'm like, right. I mean, an interview is different. Like, it's fine. Like, I don't take it to heart. But you know, when you're trying to date someone and you want, I mean, I pride myself on being authentic and being trustworthy. And so, you know, I don't want to say something. I don't want a guy ask me a question. I'm going to be like, well, okay, that scene was like this. And well, like one guy was like, oh, really? You couldn't act that scene out better? And I'm just like, listen, I don't know what they're going to do. You know, some people rub you the wrong way. You know, it's just like, you know, I'm not going to be disingenuous and be like, it's fine. People treat you like shit and it's no problem. It's like, no, I'm going to be like, you know, some people suck and I had to deal with it. So what do you want me to say?
Would you date a Housewives fan?
Yeah. Like a super fan? No. Like
someone that enjoys the Housewife franchises, and they may know you from there. Maybe they don't bring it up on the first date, but they know who you are. Would you date someone like that?
I mean, I wouldn't. I mean, it's. I mean, I mean, I am not famous. I'm infamous for my antics. So, I mean, I think that there's a lot of people that may know my name. They may not know, like, people are like, oh, that's Kelly Benson. Well, they don't know what that means. You know, they're like, oh, that's someone with a familiar name. Like, they don't know that I was on television during the Ice Age. Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, I'm like, okay. You know, the advent of reality TV. Here I am. Hi, poster child. So, I mean, I would date someone that knew that I was on television, but I wouldn't date someone that was like a super fan, because that would be really weird. I mean, they'd probably be like in the background, like mimicking, or like, you know, trying to do TikToks or something, or, you know, I mean.
Yeah. I guess it was a few weeks ago, there was a lot of news. You were in the news with this whole A-Rod situation.
Yeah.
How did that come about? What exactly happened? How does that even come out? What happened there?
So A-Rod is amazing. He is in real estate. He wants to invest in real estate. And I had this an apartment. I have this listing in Paris. Beautiful, incredible listing. It's in the 6th arrondissement, which is in Luxembourg Garden. Very cool, very bougie street that has unobstructed views, which is highly unusual in Paris. And he was just like, two of my really good friends in real estate. And they were just like, this is such an amazing apartment, you know, and I've met him many times before with his agent and just, you know, through friends. And so he was just asking me about the Parisian apartment.
So I didn't realize you could list a house or an apartment in another country. That's something that's totally normal.
So I work with Douglas Elliman in New York, the Hamptons, Florida, and I'm going to be working somewhere else soon, which I can't tell you. And I also work with Knight Frank, and that is our European connection. And so yes, I have an affiliate to work with. Listings in Paris. So it's really exciting for me to, you know, work on listings in all over the world, just because, you know, the good news about Housewives, and you know, everyone says all these bad things, but for me, you know, I see the brand of Housewives and NBC and Bravo as like a major opportunity, because they put me on the world stage. So all of, you know, a lot of these sellers know who I am from being on Housewives. And so when I go into a certain area, it's like a stamp of approval. They're like, Kelly Ben Simone is coming. So it's a stamp of approval. So it's all good news for me.
So with the A-Rod situation, though, how did it turn into like you guys were potentially dating, though? Like, how did, you know, did you guys actually talk, or was it you talking to his friends in the real estate thing?
No, we talk.
Oh, you guys talk?
Yeah.
Okay, then how did that whole thing turn into like maybe you guys potentially dating and the stories come out? Like, how does it go from there to there?
We talk a lot. I don't know, you know, I mean, listen, stuff happens. I mean, I've been in the paper for a lot of stuff.
Sure.
I don't know, you know, I do leave my phone out. So it's not like I'm just one of these people that's like really like scared about who's going to see my phone. I mean, my kids are always on my phone. I really don't know where it came from. And I really don't care, you know, I really don't. Like, he's a great guy. And I'm super excited for all his new success with A-Rod Corp. And I'm really happy with everything that I'm doing in my life. And I hope that we get to do a deal together, whether it's real, you know, residential or commercial or multifamily. I would love to do a deal with him.
Did it turn into dating at all? Or no, it was strictly business.
I mean, it's strictly business.
Would you text and be like, oh, this is hilarious that these are where all the rumors are going? Like, do you guys do that kind of text? Like, oh, here we go again.
Well, I mean, I get nervous because I have two kids. So it's one thing for me to talk about my kids about a dating app and have it be part, you know, like our narrative. But when it's someone else creating a narrative for me, that's a little uncomfortable. So, and you know, I mean, you guys have known me for a long time. You know, I'm not the kind of person that's like, I've met someone on an airplane, let's have the whole world know that I met him. You know, like a lot of people, a lot of well-known people, people that are, you know, notables like to talk about their personal life. I mean, I just think that's really, I mean, I've dated some very nice men, but it's none of anyone's business until like it's a really serious situation. And then, the thing is, if it was really serious, I'd want you guys to know all about it. I would want you to know about like the good news, the bad news, the ugly. Like, I would want you guys to know about it. But until, you know, just out of respect to my girls, like, I just want to be, you know, mindful of how, of what my dating narrative looks like.
Do you still have interest in like The Housewives at all? Do you still watch it?
I don't know if I'm really good for Housewives. I mean, I don't watch it anymore. I mean, I never watched the show anyway, because I told myself that was, if I was going to be on the show, that I would only watch the scenes that I was in, because it's not really, you know, I'm not the girl that is talking about 10 different people and their story and on the phone. That's not really my thing. You know, I've like raised two kids on my own. Kind of making money has always been like my frame, you know, my mindset. And so like gossiping about other people, like I mean, it's fun and fodder is really fun, but I don't really have the space in my head. When you're trying to like prepare your kids for college, you know, each school is 60 grand a year, it's 120,000, you know, it's like times four, you know, I don't really, you know, I really, really wasn't interested in like what anyone else thought at the time. Be totally honest with you. So if they were saying, oh my God, this is happening to me, I'm like, is it really happening to you? Or is this what someone just thought was happening to you? Because in the back of my head, I'm thinking, I have to put away, you know, $120,000 times four in the next 3 years. So I was like, that's really interesting. It's so fascinating for you. I'm sure you'll get over it. Maybe you should talk to a therapist. And then I'm like, okay, how am I going to make money?
How
can I ask?
Really,
how?
My mindset. So I think maybe now I would have been better, because I'm just more like, you know, my kids are happy and they're educated. My youngest is graduating this year, so I'm so excited for both of them. My oldest daughter is working in sports management. They're just such rock stars of kids. And, you know, it's like you get what you pay for. Like, I put in every single ounce of energy into those kids and they are great girls. So I'm so proud. So now, I mean, I would be on Housewives because I have the space for that, you know, weirdness. But when I was on television, I didn't have the space. I was just like, I don't know what they're talking about.
So going back to Housewives, how did you end up on that show? I always find this such an interesting topic to find out how people wound up on the shows that they were or are. How did you wind up on Housewives?
It's a good question. So there's a lot, you know, there's a lot of different ways that, you know, it's like, obviously there's, you know, for actors and actors, they can, you know, look for reality show. They have agents that are looking for different shows for them. I was supposed to be on a show with Tim Gunn. I just finished working. I was the editor of Elle Accessories, and I met with a lot of people. I wrote this book called American Style, and Katie Couric put me on television. And then I was on all these different networks after that, from American Style and from the Bikini Book. And so there was a lot of my face talking about the bikini. And so this executive director was just like, this girl's great. Like, she knows a lot. She's really fun. She's spirited. She would be great on Housewives. They had just done one season, and he wanted me to be on another show with Tim Gunn. And he pulled me aside. It was like, listen, we're having problems legitimizing this brand. We wanted like social women in New York. Would you be interested in doing it? And I was recently divorced and just came off of, you know, a lot of work, and my kids were really young. And I just was kind of like, I've been in this bubble, this fashion bubble, for so long. Why not try it? And I met with so many executive producers from NBC who were so great. And I just was like, fell in love with all of them. Like, the smartest, I mean, this NBC, like, the smartest people work there. I'm not gonna lie. They're just over the top. And so I just was like, how bad could this be? And my agent at the time from IMG was like, you cannot do this. My publicist was like, I can't represent you. She's like, I don't trust these women. I don't know what's going to go on. I can't represent you. So she like fired me, basically. And
well,
my
agent was
like,
decision.
You cannot do this. You cannot do this. And I was just like, you know, I just have been in this bubble for so long. I'm like, what's the worst thing that can happen? You know, it's like, I usually make good decisions.
Dun, dun, well, dun, dun. It worked out for you, right?
It did work out. It worked out.
Did you ever hear from that agent who was like, I fucked up.
Yeah, because then I moved over to ICM, and he was just like, you should stay with IMG. And he's so great. I mean, I've known him forever. He got me my first Vogue job when I was 18, so I love him, and we're super close. So I'm super close with all my agents and publicists, and I just had great people working for me for so long. I just love them all.
So you briefly mentioned right there your modeling career. How did you begin a modeling career? Because, again, also fascinating, like, how old were you? Was this something your parents got you into? Was this someone that you got scouted? Like, how did your modeling career begin?
So I was just a little young buck from Rockford, Illinois, 15 years old. And there was this contest called Look of the Year. And Cindy Crawford was the winner, and I was the runner-up. I was, like, the kid.
What? How have I not heard this story? I was like, that's pretty so wild. Crazy.
And like right before the contest, of course, in true Kelly spirit, like I had long hair like this. And I was just like, I'm 15. I'm cool. And so I cut this side of my hair off. So I had this like bi-level haircut. So it was like short to this side and long to here. I mean, not to lie, it looked like really hot. But I think it was like totally ahead of my time. Like today, people would be like, whoa, you're so cool. Back then, they were like, you are nuts. What did you do? But I did get runner up second and then went on to be in other contests. My first roommate was Stephanie Seymour in New York when I was 16. We had the best time ever. Most beautiful girl on the planet. And I just had, I had a great start to modeling. I mean, I did a lot of great ads, Ann Taylor, Elle, Vogue, Bazaar. I mean, I was doing all this stuff, but my dad made me go to college. So I graduated from high school. Then I went to Trinity College in Hartford, Connecticut. And the schedule was just too much. I was taking the train back and forth from Connecticut to New York. And my father was like, this is just too hectic for you. And I was having the best time ever because the guys at Trinity are smoke shows. So I was like, this is amazing. I love this. But then, I had to buckle up and model. And so I did that. And then I went back to Columbia and then started writing. I had a great mentor. I was the first blogger for Elle.com. So I just kind of started that whole narrative. And
have you ran into Cindy since then? Have you run into Cindy Crawford and just been like, hey, remember that one contest way back when?
I mean, I'm sure. I mean, I've seen her many times with my ex-husband, but it's not like we're like, hey, I mean, also like I'm like younger than her. And so it's like, she's probably like, whatever that kid.
You also did Playboy.
She's so beautiful.
Is it weird? Like, here's my thing with Playboy. I think it's great. I love Playboy. Listen, I'm like, dude, I'm going to love Playboy. Do your kids ever like have their friends say, hey, like, hey, I've seen your mom in Playboy. Like, is it awkward for that? Like,
really good question. Gosh, you guys are good. This is one of my favorite podcasts. I'm not going to lie. You guys are really
good. That's what I'm talking about, Kelly.
I love this podcast. You guys are doing a great job. I'm super excited. So yeah, Playboy. Well, the reason I did Playboy wasn't for the reasons that most people think, and some it's so funny because like I'll have like guy friends are like, oh, this girl was in Playboy. I'm like, yeah, she's gorgeous and she's 20 and she was a centerfold. Like I was 40 and I was on the cover with an article. It was a little bit different. And also my ex-husband shot the photos. I was really, really specific about what the photos would look like, what that visual would look like. Because, Playboy is a smoking hot magazine, but it also is a nudie book. So, I just wanted to be respectful of myself and of my kids. You have to remember that I was in it when I was 40. And so that was a really kind of cool thing because how many women are in their 40s are on the cover of Playboy?
Sure.
True.
So that was like major. And it was such a celebration, especially, this is going to sound so weird. You guys are guys, you don't really care, but I have this skin condition called psoriasis, which is basically like a reproduction of cells. So like I have like little irritations on my arms and on my legs and around my neck. And so I've always been super, super, covered up, and I would always wear, sweaters. I didn't want anyone to see, thinking that like I was going to get, people would say like, oh my God, you have dandruff. It's not dandruff. I have this skin condition. I never wore black, always wore white because I was afraid and I just wanted to be embarrassed. Like when I was a kid, I had it on my hands. So like, you know, boys wouldn't hold my hands because they were like, ooh, she's got itchies. And like, you know, it was just very, you know, it's not like traumatizing because it's like, listen, there's so many people have so many worse things, but it was a topical thing that you could actually see. And so I, you know, being in Playboy and being, and showing, like basically showing off what I look like was like a really big deal for me. I remember just being like, everyone is going to be like hating on me and I'm too fat. And, you know, cause when I was a model too, everyone's like, oh, you should be thinner. You're too fat. You know, you should lose weight. So I'm like, oh, people are going to think I'm fat. Just like, you know, all those insecurities were really, you know, festering in my head. And then I just was like, 40, my kids are great. I'm on this crazy television show and I just have to go for it and just, you know, do something for myself for once. So I did.
So what was the conversation with the kids surrounding that though?
So we did the conversation on Housewives. One of the producers on the show is a really good friend of mine. And she's like, how do you want to handle this? And I was like, you know what, let's just do this on the show. Let's do it for real. And you know, a lot of my scenes are great because they are real conversations with my kids. You know, some of the more important scenes. And so those scenes really resonated with a lot of the fans. They really loved those scenes because they were real. You know, you can't tell a kid what to say because they're just going to say whatever they want, you know, whether it's true or not, they're just going to say whatever they want. So my youngest daughter was like, it's okay as long as you don't show all that weirdness. They were cute.
Oh,
by the way, they have had some issues with their friends. And I'm like, guys, like, I'm a woman of a certain age. Like, let's like, you know, calm it down.
So, Kel, we do a speed round. You know, I want to get to this because I know you got to get out of here soon. So we do a speed round where we kind of ask you a few questions. Think of the first thing that comes to you and kind of go from there. Okay.
Okay.
Celebrity crush.
Josh Hartnett.
He lives in your hood. I mean, he used to. Yeah.
I haven't heard much from Josh Hartnett in a very long time. I was not expecting that name at all.
So cute.
All right. Favorite TV show to binge right now?
Succession.
Good choice.
Favorite song right now?
Favorite song. I have to think about that. It's going to be a Taylor Swift song. I just can't remember the name of the song.
Okay. Best memory from Real Housewives of New York?
I'm up here and you're down there.
your relationship with Bethany Frankel, what is it?
Complicated.
Okay.
Why so?
Just because it's complicated. It's, you know, we don't have a relationship, you know, in real life. But on camera, it's complicated. Just easier to say that.
Okay. All right. Maybe something people don't know about you.
I love to chew gum.
Okay. Cool.
Your relationship with Kris Jenner is what?
Incredible. Love her.
How'd you guys meet?
We met through Jonathan Cheban. She's unbelievable. She's unbelievable. Every time I have a problem, I call her. She's like, she's such a mama bear. She's unbelievable. She's incredible. She just gives me the right information. She's like, Kelly, this is what you need to do. There's no song and dance. There's no long harangue. There's no 5-hour conversation. She's like, this is what you do.
That family, we praise that family all the time for being able to stay ahead of every media curve ever thrown at them. Like, it really is unbelievable how relevant they've stayed for so many years. It's really crazy.
I love her. I love her. I love Chloe. Kim is amazing girl. Amazing.
Besides Kris, which Kardashian or Jenner is the most fun to hang out with?
Chloe.
Oh, I love Chloe.
Best restaurant in New York City.
Best restaurant in New York City, St. Ambrose.
I don't know that one. Is it pretty good? Have you been there, Adam?
Yeah, it's very good.
Adam's been there many times.
It's good. Yeah, it's good. I just saw. I just ran into Kelly at where did I see you?
Balthazar.
Yeah. That was right. Most overrated restaurant in New York City.
Sorry, ask again.
Most overrated restaurant in New York City. The one like everyone talks about it, like, eh.
Let's see. Overrated. I don't really want to say that because New York has had such a hard time with restaurants lately. I just kind of want to celebrate that. You know what I mean?
Okay.
New Year's resolution. What's yours?
New Year's resolution. You know, it's so weird. Like, that's funny that you say that because I was just thinking about that the other day. I was like, what do I want to do differently this year? You know, my resolution is to just really stay in the moment and not get clouded by, you know, drama or other people's insecurity. And that's just like what I've done this year. And it's been really working for me. And just kind of staying true to myself. It's just been like, I haven't been doing it on purpose, but I'm going to make it more of to be proactive by doing that.
My last question is, who's the one celebrity you run into the most in New York City?
The one, Lee Schreiber. Like all the time.
Okay. My last question. What the hell is that horse doing behind you? Is that just like, no, the other one. Is it just a full-size horse that's always in your house?
So he came from the Met. Metropolitan Museum of Art. He came from the Anglomania exhibit. So I was on the board of the Costume Institute, which is the Met Ball. They have an actual board, the small, tiny, invitation only board. And I was on it. And, one of the, curators, who is an amazing, amazing man, he was like, let's do something really nice for Kelly. Let's offer her this resin horse. It's a draft horse. It was made in Brooklyn. Let's offer her this draft horse to take home from the exhibit. So
now,
I'm like,
were you excited about this?
Oh my gosh. I was like, oh my gosh, they're giving me this horse. I cannot believe this. This is unbelievable. So I get my Suburban, you know, I'm picking up my kids from school. I'm like, hold on, you guys, we're just going to go, you know, zip across the street and we're just going to pick up this horse and then we're going to go home. You guys are going to be able to do all your swimming lessons and everything. They were like, Mom, what? So we like drive down the ramp and I'm driving and I see the horse in front of me and I'm like, that horse is like 6 feet long and like 5 feet tall. I'm like, that horse is never going to fit into my car. And so I ended up calling a delivery service and I called my building and I was like, hey guys, it's me. Just want to let you know that there's going to be a delivery in the building. And they're like, okay, Kelly, what is it? I'm like, a horse is coming. I'm like, okay, see you later. Click. They call me back. They're like, Kelly, is this horse real?
It's huge.
And I was like, oh my gosh, this is what they think of me. They think that, like, you know, I would bring a real horse into my apartment.
I mean, it's nice that it's from the Met and all, but if someone gave me a 6 foot tall horse to put in my house, I might have some feelings.
Well, it's kind of cool because it's like, it kind of like separates the room sometimes. And then it's like, it's fun for parties. People always are like, can I have a picture on the horse? We like, you know, up there. The saddle is from the Fendi's. So it's an original saddle from the Italian war. So it's incredible. And then the saddle pad is Hermes and the, it has chrome hearts wraps on its ankles. So it's a very bougie, chic horse.
All right. Well, I know we got to get you out of here.
We named the horse Rex.
Well, thank you, Kelly, for joining us. I know we got to get you out of here. You got a showing here in a couple minutes. If you want to follow Kelly, obviously she's on Instagram, Kelly Ben Simone. You can follow her on Facebook, on Twitter. She's even on TikTok. And is there any other things that you want to tell them where to find you?
You guys, I would love for you guys to listen to my podcast, Hey Guys, Hey, and I have an incredible outerwear line. It's season 4. It's called Paula Georges, but it's on Ville by Paula Georges. It's doing so well. It's blowing out. I'm super excited. And I'm just so proud that you guys are listening in and staying tuned to all things Kelly. I'm having the best time ever. And thank you so much.
Awesome. Kelly's one of the best. So cool. Always good seeing you. You're always one of the nicest on the streets to the photographers, to the fans, to everyone. She's a doll. So Kelly, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Kelly Bensmore. Dude, I see Kelly a lot in New York City. She's always been super cool, super fun.
You run into her nonstop. Like every day we're on the phone, you're like, oh, there's Kelly walking by.
I see her so much, man. It's like, we're just around the same area. Like I live in Upper East Side. She lives in, I guess she's in Soho. I guess I was trying to think of her exact area, but she, we just run into each other all the time. I see her, like, sometimes I even walk the other direction. It's like one of those points, like, oh, I don't want to see it. It gets weird because,
like, you've run into someone so much, you're like, this is starting to get awkward. Yeah, like I'm following them or something.
It's one of those things if you're at the grocery store and you're like about to go down the same aisle and you turn down, like, oh, I don't want to, like, because it's like, I don't want to be too, she knows what I do. So I don't want it to seem like I'm intrusive or I'm just like, no, we just cross paths a lot, you know? So it's,
yeah.
It, you know, I don't want to say we're in the same circles because I'm not affording any of those apartments she's selling, but she's crushing it, dude. She's out showing the list.
Okay. Not about the apartments. A-Rod, what was your take from the A-Rod discussion?
Something happened.
Right?
I mean,
like, I was sitting there with a smile on her face.
Someone looks at her phone, I'm like, there, and says, like, hey, what's going on?
A business deal.
Yeah. Like, someone looked at your phone. Like, how does that story come out there? I mean, come on, it's good for business, you know. It's good to kind of get that word out there, and you know, it's good press, it's good promotion. You know, A-Rod quickly addressed the situation, saying there was no dating, there was no involvement. But she, you know, the next day she was on the beach in Daily Mail in a bikini, like she was working it. Mm-hmm. And I'm not mad at it. I get it.
I'm not mad at it either.
It's a game. Smart.
Gotta do what you gotta do,
Mark Kelly. Yeah. But if you guys like this podcast, we have a video portion of this podcast. It's on YouTube. We're also on TikTok, Hollywood Raw Pod. Actually, the TikTok's blowing up. We have a lot of celebrity.
TikTok's doing well.
Yeah,
dude.
We got a lot of these
really well.
Celebrity videos, the raw videos that you don't see on any other outlet. It's really cool. If you want to see what goes on really in Hollywood and in the world when it comes to celebrity news, we have exclusive videos. It's pretty awesome. We're also on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. I said TikTok. Twitter, Ron at all, but we also have this private Facebook group. Dax, tell me about this private Facebook group.
Yeah, the private Facebook group is where you can come, you can chat directly to us, ask questions, you can chat with other people that are also enjoying the podcast and love celebrity news. So it's just kind of a place for people to mingle and hang out. So go join the private Facebook group. You can just go to Hollywood Raw and then you'll see on there, there's like a little subgroup there that you can join.
Exactly.
So super easy. And, you know, always want to say thank you guys for taking the time to leave us a review. It is very, very helpful. It helps us climb the charts. It helps people discover us. You know, it's a hard game out there. There's 3 million podcasts floating around. And so trying to make a name for yourself in the podcasting game is not always easy. So thank you for taking the extra 4 seconds to go to iTunes, scroll all the way to the bottom, leave us that 5-star review. And, you know, we always try to read one out loud at the beginning of the podcast, just as a little thank you. So if you can do it, we'd appreciate it.
Yes. You can find me at Adam Glynn, GLYN. You can find Dax Holt at DAXHOLT. Make sure you check out his website, WikiFeets.
guys, I need 5-star review on WikiFeet. Yeah, exactly. I'm suffering over there.
But guys, thank you guys for listening. Leave a review. See you guys next time.
Guys, hope you like that video. We got a lot more where that came from.
Hit that bell, like, subscribe, share with a friend. The best thing you do to support us is really doing that. And we really need the money because we need hair gel.